We're in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. Call with your questions right now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
You know, I'm a big believer in trimming palm trees. I like them trimmed right down to ground level.
Ooh, we call that one basal cut.
And when you get down to the ground, you've got a stump left over. And at RosieOnTheHouse.com, we've actually got a collection here of some emails for John Eisenhower regarding stumps that are left over. And in particular, we'll start with Lisa, who's purchased a house, and there's a tree stump in the front yard that's fairly close to the home. She wants to know, should she remove it, or can they leave it there and put like a little planter pot on top of it? The roots of a stump tree still grow and affect the surroundings is the ultimate question here.
Yeah, she was concerned that the stump removal would tear up the yard, and she didn't want a lot of disruption to her landscape, and I can understand that. But she might be surprised to find out that, that tree stump removal can be quite a precision operation. There are various sizes of stump grinders that we use, some very small handheld units that can get right on top of the stump and grind it below grade sufficiently enough so you can cover the stump and not see it. There are other types of trees, though, that have very vigorous root systems that even after the trees are cut, they'll tend to continue to grow. And those need a deeper grinding to be able to get rid of them entirely. And that is a little bit more of a disruptive process. I have seen some people, you know, cut them off. They'll have us just cut them at 3 or 4 feet off the ground, and they'll use it as a little table or a place to put a planter or actually utilize them in the landscape.
And that's probably, you know, because when I think tree stump removal, I'm backhoes, tractors, digging a big ditch, getting some chain, yanking it. But grinding.
Yes. Grinding is the least invasive way, and it's really the most modern way of getting stumps out.
Now, John, when you do that, like, you know, you took some pretty big palms out of our yard, and we're in the process now trying to decide, do I get a little backhoe in there and pull them out, or do I grind them down? If I grind them down and fill up over it, just let the lawn fill in, will I, in 10 or 12 years, as that stump continues to deteriorate, have a sinkhole, I'll have to continue kind of supplement it with a little sand and a little topsoil?
No, the way to avoid that, and we generally, when we grind the stump out, we'll put a mixture of the soil and the stump grindings back into the hole and leave it a little proud to allow for settling.
Okay.
So you can do that, or you can actually take all the stump grindings out, and I would recommend it with palm trees because they tend to be very fibrous. The roots are little, very fluffy and would compress a little bit. I take all that material out when the stump grinding is done and just replace it with regular native soil.
Okay. All right, Sandra's question, still on the roots. She's got a 35-foot-tall palm, and the root ball is now showing itself in the water meter, and the city's telling her that's your property. You're going to have to deal with the root ball.
Yeah, she mentioned that the roots are getting into the water meter box. And that because the tree's on her side of the water meter box, that she's responsible for the encroachment. There's some remedies for this. She doesn't necessarily have to take the tree down. You can cut the roots outside the water meter box, trench down and actually cut those roots. The roots of palm trees are no larger than about the size of your thumb. They don't get any larger. When the tree needs more roots, it just puts out more roots from the main root initiation zone at the trunk. So those roots are very easy to cut. They're very soft. And you can go down with a reciprocating saw or a sharpshooter shovel and just cut all the roots outside the water meter box. And then there's a root barrier product. There's several products available. An arborist can install a root barrier between the tree and the water meter and prevent any future encroachment.
Tell me about that, because that's very interesting. It doesn't create any kind of curling later, or the roots just stop and the tree's good?
It's actually called a root deflector, and they're a polypropylene, usually a 40 mil or larger size sheet. It can be any width. Usually they're 19 to 24 or 36 inches deep. And in the case of a water meter, you'd probably want a 24-inch barrier, and then you cut them as wide as you need from right to left. And once you've created your trench, you just slide the barrier in and backfill behind it.
As long as we're on the topic of roots, and I think it was a pine tree that was encroaching this water box, what is a rule for how close can I get to the trunk before I can really hurt the tree if there's a root lifting a sidewalk or a path or a patio? Can I get right in there? Well, is there a rule of thumb?
There is a rule of thumb, and they generally say that to avoid damage to the or to risk the health or safety of a tree, you want to stay at least 1 foot away from a tree when you're doing excavation for every 1 inch of trunk diameter measured at about chest height.
Got it.
So okay, about 4.5 feet off the ground. If you measure the tree and it's 12 inches wide at 12 feet or 4 feet off the ground, you need to be about 12 feet away before you start cutting roots. That being said, if you're only cutting on one side of a tree and you're not damaging that many roots, you can move inside that critical root zone a little closer to the tree. But again, it depends on the type of tree, and trees have varying levels of tolerance for construction damage, and some are very durable, and you can probably cut real close to the tree. In the case of palm trees, it was a palm tree this lady mentioned, you can cut pretty close to those trees without there being a risk of destabilizing the tree or hurting its health, especially if you're only staying on one side of the tree.
Very good.
To our callers, let's start with Randy. Welcome to the program, sir. How may we help you?
Yes, I've got had a chipple tree about 20 feet tall out here in Gilbert. And last Sunday we had a pretty little windstorm, and it sheared it off at about 5.5 feet level, just completely dumped it on top of my fence and my neighbor's fence. So we had it cut off, the guy that removed it, and it's at about 5 feet level. And I'm wondering, do I need to paint it, and will it come back to life, or is it pretty much gone?
What type of tree was that again?
Tipu.
Tipu.
Oh, a tipu. Yeah, a tipuana will likely grow back. I would give it a chance. You know, you might want to fertilize with a nitrogen fertilizer to try to push some new growth right now, and water it deeply, and see if you can get some new growth to regenerate. There's a risk that the trunk that's remaining there could be sunburned a little bit now that it's exposed and doesn't have the shade from the foliage above. But I would certainly give it a season to see if it will regenerate some new growth. And if you realize that tree has an established root system right now and it's ready to push new growth, you might be better off now with that tree. In 2 or 3 years will give you a better tree than to start over with a smaller tree from the nursery, which might take 5 or 8 years to achieve the same size. So I would definitely give that tree a chance.
Thanks for the call, Randy. Let's see what Brandon's working on with his trees. Welcome to the program, sir. How may we help you?
Yeah, I have a pomegranate tree that we've had for about, this is going to be the fourth summer. And the first summer, probably the first 2 summers, the fruit it gave was great. But the last year and this year, all the fruit is white, yellow. I don't know if it's getting bleached by the sun or if it's a lack of nourishment or something, but I don't know what's going on.
I've learned with pomegranates, you completely neglect them. We've got one in the corner property. We never do a thing with that, and they come out perfect.
Well, Romy, you're very lucky, because we have had more and more questions about pomegranate trees over the last several years, and I'm loving it because it just shows me that this tree is gaining in popularity. They're a wonderful fruit-bearing tree that can... but they tend to be a little temperamental. I've seen them kind of white and bleached out like you're describing. It could be a sun issue. You know, anything exposed on that west and south side of the tree is going to get hammered. You do need to make sure that they're watered carefully. As the fruit starts to develop and gets large enough, maybe a baseball size, you might want to consider covering them with those little small brown lunch sacks. Are really very inexpensive. You can buy a package of them at the store. We usually cover our fruit with those, put a rubber band around the top of them, and cover each individual fruit. And that prevents the birds from getting them, and it prevents the sun from beating them. But they'll still grow and size nicely inside the bag, and then in a month or two you can open them up and enjoy the fruit.
And if, you know, it's a paper bag, so if it rains and it falls off, you could just
put another one on.
Put it for compost or rake it up.
Sure.
Now, I need you to put your mountain hat on. We're going up to a 928 area code here to bring Tommy into the conversation and see what he's working on. Tommy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Flagstaff.
Excellent. How can we help you?
I live on the reservation, and I just want to know what kind of tree is good drought tolerance out there, and the ground is not too good to grow a tree out there, so I just want to know what kind of good shade tree that's good to grow out there.
You know, you probably have some relatively well-drained, sandier soils up on the reservation. I know that, I don't know, what elevation are you at? Do you know?
It's probably like a high desert.
So maybe 3,500 feet in that sort of range?
Probably about 5, maybe.
Oh, yeah. About 5,000. Yeah, so, you know, that's a little bit out of my area of expertise. I would probably, you know, contact an arborist. There's a couple of great arborists, Art Daly and Larry Phillips in the Flagstaff area, who could help you out with that question. Feel free to look up the certified arborist. Look up a certified arborist in the Flagstaff area by going to their website, isa-arbor.com, and you can put in a zip code search and find a certified arborist in your area. That probably would be my recommendation, because they'll be able to. They know those that elevation and the trees that are suitable for that area of the state.
You get up there around Second Mesa or Ryby and stuff, and the trees follow the water pass very, very distinctly. In between water pass, you don't see a lot of trees.
Yeah. No, you don't. That's true. I know that I have some friends who grow some beautiful apples and peaches up on the reservation, and some friends of mine out of the Sholo area, Pine Top area, drive up there and help them with those trees. So I know that there's some areas, like you say, where there's available water, trees can really thrive. But again, you need trees that are going to be able to handle that elevation in the cold, because they will get snow.
Yeah.
So
we appreciate the call, Tom, listening to us on our Flagstaff affiliate, Calf Country. We'll be back right after this.